From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. What do you think about genetically engineered food? Would you avoid it if you saw it listed on the ingredients label? Well, Washington voters are going to decide in November with Initiative 522 on that very issue. California voters rejected a similar measure in last year's general election, but the vote was very close, 49% in favor of labeling, 51% opposed. Here in Washington, both sides are recruiting supporters, and we're going to hear from both of them. On the pro-labeling side, representing the Yes on 522 campaign, Trudy Bialik. She's the campaign's co-chair, and also the public affairs director for PCC Natural Markets. Trudy, thanks for joining us once again.
Thank you.
Just a clarification, first of all. We hear a lot about GMOs, genetically modified organisms. This initiative refers to genetically engineered foods. What's the difference between engineered and modified?
Genetic engineering is the process that creates genetically modified organisms. They're not found in nature. They cannot occur in nature. They can only be created through genetic engineering.
Why should we mandate the labeling of foods with genetically engineered ingredients, Trudy?
Well, the biggest thing that people don't understand, and this is often misrepresented and said in a very misleading way by the opposition, the FDA never has said these foods are safe. The FDA has never said these foods are safe. The Food and Drug Administration does not require, and it does not conduct any safety assessments. So industry is entirely driving the bus. So that raises some concerns.
Does the FDA go through all foods and research them and issue a statement that they are safe?
No, they don't. And that's part of the issue here is that we are relying on Monsanto and DuPont and Dow to tell us that these foods are safe. And if you look at the letters that FDA actually issues to these companies, it actually does not say these foods are safe. It says it relies on Monsanto, for instance, to say to comply with all legal laws and rules. It does not say itself that it imposes or deems these foods safe itself. It relies on the industry research, just like it does for some other things as well, like artificial additives.
Mm-hmm. Now, the initiative calls biotechnology a, quote, imprecise process, which, quote, often leads to unintended consequences. But isn't all crop breeding techniques, can't they all lead to unintended consequences? Is there
any chance of that
with these products?
That is true. There can be unintended consequences, but generally with traditionally breeding, what you have is within the rules of nature. You don't cross across the species barrier. You're not crossing organisms that cannot naturally breed on their own and would not. Now, we have hybrids, but that's totally different than genetically engineered foods. The genetically engineered foods only can be created in the laboratory, like the genetically engineered salmon is with two other species into an Atlantic salmon. One of them is an eel-like pout fish, and the other is the Pacific salmon, which is a much larger, different ocean altogether. So these are blends of genetic combinations that are unstable. It is an imprecise process because when these traits are forced into a host organism, they use a gene gun or another mechanism, which essentially does not splice the traits into any precise area. It's a random process. They blast the genes at the organism, and it can land virtually anywhere in that host. There can be fragments of genes, and there can be and have been unstable combinations that occur.
Trudy Bialik is with us. She represents Yes on 522. That's the campaign to require that foods include in their labels whether they include genetically engineered foods. Stay with us, Trudy. For another side of the debate, we turn to Heather Hansen, spokesperson for the No on 522 campaign. She is executive director of the Washington Friends of Farms and Forests. Heather, thank you for taking the time.
Yes, it's good to be here.
Why shouldn't companies have to label genetically engineered foods?
Well, according to the American Medical Association, the Food and Drug Administration, National Academy of Sciences, the World Health Organization, they all say that there is no scientific justification for special labeling. There is no health or safety reason to label. Now, we absolutely think consumers have a right to know the facts, the truth, but we believe all of these scientific organizations that say there is no reason for this type of label.
Now, we heard Trudy Bialik say that these have, all the studies have been done by the corporations that are selling the products. Have there been independent studies done?
Absolutely. You know, it sounds like Trudy's not happy with any part of our existing food regulatory system. All of those studies are done to the requirements of the federal government, but we also have at least 400 independent studies that show absolutely no cause for concern. 70 to 80% of the food in our grocery stores now, been there for decades. We've served trillions of meals worldwide, and no cause for concern. Never a confirmed case of any harm from eating GE foods.
But Heather, there are lots of things on those food labels for which there's been no harm found. It's just on the label, so you can read it and see what's in there. What's the harm of including genetically engineered in that ingredient list?
Well, again, there's no harm in providing factual information, but this is designed to look like a warning label. And what this initiative does is it cuts Washington off from the rest of the country. And so in addition to trying to scare consumers and other members of the campaign have said that is their goal, they are trying to frighten people away from the technology, it's going to create a new bureaucracy that's going to take our tax dollars to implement. It's going to hurt our economy, particularly our farmers. So there are a huge number of things that go along with this initiative, but it's costly, it's unnecessary, and is going to harm our economy. And it's really not giving consumers what they think it's giving them. It's so full of exemptions and arbitrary conditions that it doesn't give consumers any kind of consistent information.
Yeah, let me follow up on that. Trudy Bialik, there are some things that are exempt from the labeling of genetically engineered food in your Initiative 522. What are they and why are they excluded?
Alcohol, restaurant foods, and meat and dairy, for example, if the animal itself is not genetically engineered. For example, if the salmon, like I said, the salmon is a genetically engineered animal that would be labeled under 522. The exemptions that are in this are parallel with common exemptions in very typical food labeling laws today. The exemptions, for example, in 522 parallel the exemptions in artificial food additives. Medical foods, restaurant foods, meat and dairy are exempt from that as well. This is drawn to conform with common food labeling laws that are already in existence, and it also conforms with the labeling laws in the 64 countries around the world that label, including our key trading partners like South Korea and Taiwan and Japan, which recently just suspended wheat purchases because of genetically engineered wheat being found in the supply. They cut it off. So how is this current system working without labeling? It's not. And that is costing us billions of dollars. It's cost us billions of dollars in lost export sales and reduced prices to farmers. Farmers can't sell their stuff overseas if they don't have a market. And right now, our biggest trading partners require labels.
I want to go back to Heather Hansen for that. Heather Hansen with the No on 522 campaign. A lot of other countries do mandate disclosure of genetically engineered foods on the labels, don't they? And why shouldn't we do the same if there are so many other countries who are doing it?
Well, those countries include places like China and Syria. But more importantly, those are whole countries. What we're talking here about here is just 1/50th of a country. And we would be cutting ourselves off from the rest of our country. Food distribution doesn't start and stop at state lines. So if this initiative passes, everyone that makes a food product is going to have a separate box designed just for Washington State, put it on a separate pallet, ship it separately, keep track of inventory separately, and essentially duplicate our entire food distribution system just to keep Washington State separate. that's going to be expensive, and we're going to pay for it at the grocery store.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it here for now. There's a lot more to discuss, but fortunately, there are quite a few months between now and the November election to discuss those things. Our thanks to Heather Hansen from the No on 522 campaign, who you just heard from, and Trudy Bialik from the Yes on 522 campaign. There's already a lot of stuff that's been published about this. Check it out, and so you'll make an informed vote when November rolls around. This is KUOW.